Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefooters Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot is the one that has lived a full-time barefoot lifestyle for over 20 years and victim's legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Barefoot is Legal radio broadcast. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I've been barefoot full-time for over 20-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 15 years ago. I'm the head of MP Media Group, where I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment, where I empowered up-and-coming artists to advance their careers. I also do a radio show before Barefoot is Legal called Are You Ready? Emergency Preparedness and Survival. I'm also a victim's legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have from Legal Services Department. Now, many of us have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons. Some of you for cultural reasons. Others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, whatever experiences and issues you may have. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can go there. Just go to freedomizerradio.com. You can interact with us during the broadcast. Share whatever information you have. We also have the home of Barefoot is Legal's radio show on Facebook. If you just go to Barefoot is Legal Radio, you can check out our archives there as well as on freedomizerradio.com. Catch exclusive content. You can also send your messages to me and whatever else you want to share. Also, check out our website, barefootislegal.org. our official webpage, and our official Facebook pages, and our private group called Barefoot is Legal. You can interact with other members of the Barefoot community during and after the broadcast. And for our closed group, if you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle, go ahead and join our group. It's a closed group. Again, for just go to Barefoot is Legal right on Facebook. Now, keep in mind, though, this is not a fetish community. So for all you heavy breathing fun seekers out there, this is not the place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you. Spread the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. So we talk a lot on this program about discrimination and about, you know, how laws protect us and all that. Earlier this week, I was going through some content on YouTube, just searching something random, but some recommendations that came up were people, how they're getting thrown out of businesses because of service dogs. And it made me wonder, it's like, wait a minute. Now, service dogs are clearly mentioned in the law, whereas bare feet are not. I mean, yeah, we have the approach where if it's for our health or medical reasons when it comes to the ADA, bare feet are not necessarily mentioned, but we are covered under that. But service dogs are specifically mentioned, and businesses are still throwing these people out. I've seen videos on YouTube, and I couldn't believe it. It made me wonder, wow, we have a lot of work to do. It's scary. I mean, we're making a lot of progress with the barefoot community, but I mean, people are still having issues with service dogs. But another thing that came to mind when I was watching one of the videos, and that was one lady said, well, you can sit outside with your dog. And the lady replied, no, you can't segregate me. That's the law. It sparked something in my mind. You can't segregate. Segregation is also illegal. So I was thinking about some stories that I've heard over the years where people have mentioned, you can shop here, but you can't walk around in our store. So we're going to have someone get your groceries for you. Or you can call ahead and place your order and we'll bring it out to you. You know, it's like they want to make those reasonable accommodations. Or, you know, well, you have to sit over here in this section. Or you have to sit outside if you're barefoot. And it made me wonder, wait a minute, this is segregation. Same thing that happened with this lady and her dog. We may be going through it ourselves as members of the barefoot community. We choose to live a barefoot lifestyle. And whether we do it for health, medical, religious, cultural, safety reasons, whatever it is, still segregation is illegal. And it's something I never really spoke much about on the program. I mean, I never really thought about it. In a way, yes, it's been happening, but it finally made it click. So I wanted to bring that up this week. If anybody wants to add to this, 319-527-6208. And I know we have a lot of callers that I really want to get to this week. So I'm just going to start early. I'm just going to start bringing them in. And great friend of the show, Richard, welcome to the program. So I just throw that one out to start, get the wheels turning. And how's your weekend going so far?
Not too bad so far. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in again. Thanks for joining us. Great supporter of the show. Always glad to have you. So, segregation. It was crazy. I was thinking about that. I'm like, wow. You know, and I don't know if that's ever happened to you. I know it's happened. I've seen posts where I remember one in particular was, oh, well, we'll get the groceries for you. You wait outside. I'm trying to remember how long ago that was. But technically, that's segregation. And that's illegal, too. So,
when you started mentioning this, it's funny because it kind of ties in one of our members. I don't know if you saw his post yet. He's having issues with his school. He's doing his postgraduate studies and so that's one of the reasons I called in, is, you know, wanting to talk a little bit about all that. But what you just brought up ties into the whole thing. And one of the things that as a barefoot community, how often people don't know the laws, that there are no health department laws, as we keep preaching constantly, but the general public doesn't know it. But the funny thing is you've just proven the general public doesn't even know the laws that do exist and that are commonplace and that they should.
Yeah. I mean, in this one case, I mean, in some of these videos that I was watching, which made me think about it, these were service dogs. I mean, this was not like something out of the ordinary. And like you're saying, common knowledge, common sense, really, when it comes to general public. If you have a service dog and a vest and everything clearly marked, why there would be such an issue nowadays, and it's amazing. I mean, we still have issues with us, you know, among the barefoot community. And yeah, no, I was looking at those posts Ben was the gentleman who's doing the postgraduate work. I reached out to him a couple times. I don't know. He's doing he's going through whatever hoops and stuff he has going on with the school. We haven't had much of a chance to talk about it. So whatever's in the post is pretty much the updates at this point. But yeah, it's sad. I mean, you know, especially if he's been attending that school. I mean, how do you say halfway through the school year, or well, by the second semester, probably by this part, college, would you actually be having an issue in the school that you've been attending? And it's just crazy. Like, you know, things change on us.
Not to mention, he's already done three semesters there, barefooted, common knowledge. All the students have seen him. Obviously, he hasn't been reported before, and it's only been the security folks at the school that have had issues with it because they're enforcing what they believe to be a rule in existence that turns out doesn't. And, you know, so it's like they're going to sit there and start throwing all the liability issues and everything else and the health and welfare. And it's like, okay, well, we've, you know, he's already, you know, demonstrated that those are not concerns. Three semesters is a pretty lengthy time to sit there and go without getting injured, and for them to sit there and start trying to state, oh, well, these things could happen. It's like, well, yeah, every time I walk out my front door, I could get hit by a car or a meteorite or have a brick hit me. But those things just don't generally happen. So how the school could sit there and start claiming, you know, worries about liability is just ridiculousness.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, and especially nowadays, schools have more to worry about than someone walking around in barefoot. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, and you're right, three semesters then. I mean, that's like almost 18 months. I mean, a year and a half. You know, I mean, really, when you look at it. And nothing has happened. He's never been injured. It, you know, when it comes to health and safety, I mean, the plague hasn't broke out in the school yet. You know, I mean, I don't know what they're worried about. You know, it's proven.
Not one zombie created from his being barefoot. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. No zombie apocalypse outbreak yet, you know. I mean, the plague hasn't happened. No outbreaks of Ebola, athlete's foot. You know, advanced melanoma, nothing.
Foot and mouth.
Yeah, foot and mouth disease, bird flu, swine. I mean, nothing has happened. You know, but yet they carry on about health and well-being and stuff like that, you know, and then liability. We talk about it every week, and some of the arguments and the objections that we have that we get, you know, being barefoot in the world, it's crazy. It's some of the logic that people come up with. And, you know, had people been eating Tide Pods sooner, we would understand why. But this has been going on way before people started eating Tide Pods. So we know that's not it. It's not something that, you know, I mean, we have traced it back. I mean, it's the signs. It all comes back to the health department signs. You know, when businesses couldn't discriminate against one group of people, they said, oh, well, this is a different way of doing it. And it's just been that way ever since. It's sad, but little by little, we're getting through it.
And, you know, when you get down to it, you can almost think of the no shoes, no shirt signs as one of the earliest analog forms of a meme that went viral. And nobody's challenged, and now 40 years later, we're still stuck with it, like on the internet, where every 3 weeks you see the same meme you've seen, you know, a dozen times previous, and everybody starts to believe that's, you know, true.
It starts to believe it. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. The original meme in analog format. Yep. Coming at you at 33 and a third speed right there. Originally shot on film and colorized, Technicolor. Oh, you're right. It's just crazy. A good, very good way of putting that. I like that. First analog meme. The NS3 signs. You know, stuff like that. And people believe it. I mean, just like they believe that Adam Sandler died in a snowboarding accident again this week. You know, it's just crazy. Just the beliefs that are put on people by miscellaneous signs that were grown from hate. They didn't want hippies and people of color in their establishments, and that's where these signs started coming from. You know, for some of our new listeners, if they haven't heard this before, I mean, this is where it all started. They weren't allowed to do you know, if you use the back door, you can't come in, or this, that, and the other. People of color not allowed, or this, that, and the other. Hippies not wanted. You can't come in. Oh, nope, long hair, beard, stuff like that. Nope, not allowed in. Well, then they decided, you know, these people walk around barefoot. Why don't we try this? Just to keep it out. And it's a myth.
You know, also too, you know, one of the things that always occurs to me too, and I'm sure it has you as well. Every once in a while, we'll get these folks that sit there and say, well, you know, it's a business's right to do this, you know, that, you know, they get the right to dictate their dress codes and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? You're absolutely right. As long as they're not, you know, violating any of the protected classes. And if the choice for wanting shoes on a person, it, you know, it'd be like a fancy restaurant requiring a, you know, a suit jacket and a tie for men and women to be in dresses because they're trying to have like a white tablecloth. So it's, you know, part of an experience that they're trying to create versus, well, we just want to segregate and, you know, and keep certain people out of our business. No, no, we want to create a specific environment that we're trying to adhere to. So requiring shoes is part of that. It's like, okay, I'll respect that. And guess what? I just won't be a customer there because I don't like putting on a tie and jacket or shoes in this case. So, you know, it's okay for businesses to do that. But I think a lot of people miss the bigger point that not only is it, you know, discriminatory, and some will sit there and say, well, going barefoot's not really that important. Well, it's a bigger issue. It is directly related to the discrimination and why we need to stand up for it, you know, and start fighting and educating these businesses. So it's like you want to make a decision to ban bare feet. Don't have it be for the bogus, illegitimate reasons. Stand up and sit there and say as a business, I don't want bare feet in my store because I want a certain class of clientele. Guess what? I just won't shop there anymore.
Well, I don't know if it goes so much for class. I mean, you could be upper class and, you know, still be barefoot, just like middle and low class and everything else. But I see what you're saying. But yet at the same time, yeah, okay, just like a costume party can say we're a costume party, wear, you know, some Halloween costume. But it's not really required to be in that event to wear a costume. Still, you can attend one of those events. And I see that they're trying to set a mood. They're trying to set a certain atmosphere. And they do have a right to do that. But yet at the same time, if someone does not wear shoes for a protected reason, you know, whether it's part of the human rights or part of the ADA or something like that, they should still be allowed in the establishment. I mean, just like, you know, turn this thing another way. You're having a handicap banquet, okay, or someone with disabilities, okay? Well, if a majority of people are there in wheelchairs and crutches and, you know, and all this, and you have, you know, a majority of the attendees, and hey, this is based around bringing awareness to disabilities, and this is the type of event that we're having, and they wouldn't say that, well, you know, we're trying to create a certain atmosphere, so you need to ride around in a wheelchair. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, those are actually really good points. And again, those get down to that common sense of a circumstance of somebody who doesn't have the ability to make the decision to dress up, or like in what you're suggesting, that they cannot wear shoes, then they do have to be made an accommodation, regardless of what the business is trying to accomplish. And that's where the ADA laws and the protected classes laws should cover us. And unfortunately, until we go to a, you know, in my belief, until we actually get a court case won where it's upheld that, yes, this person has the right to be barefooted, we're going to be facing a slow educational battle with the general public to sit there and realize that all those perceived notions about being barefoot are completely backwards and discriminatory.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things, once we have presence in the law. I mean, once we have presence in the law to say, okay, no, this in this case, it was this issue and it was already ruled this. And then every court after that will follow those decisions.
Oh, yeah. They'll just keep, yep. And then it'll snowball from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Until that happens, though, it's a lot of work. And you're right. It's just that constant educational struggle that the community is always going to be up against until they acknowledge the fact that this is protected. This is specifically when it comes to people that live barefoot. Because right now the law kind of protects us in a vague way. I mean, it is on our side if we know how to use it. But a lot of times people are looking for that specific word, barefoot, or no shoes, or lack of footwear, or something in the law. And that's something that maybe we should probably take up higher. Maybe letters to our congressmen, our senators, our reps and all that, amend that law in such a way to include that word that everybody wants to see in the law. Because I've noticed that that sometimes is an objection where it's like, well, it doesn't say barefoot in the law. But in a way, the law does protect us because if it's for a medical reason, this law applies. If it's for a religious reason, this law applies. So the laws are there, but again, very vague. You know, just like the law doesn't necessarily protect someone who is transgendered, it just protects them from their sexual preference.
Yeah, you know, funny, I was avoiding bringing that up, but, you know, when you really think about it, a lot of the laws that we've had in the past to protect just people in general, like, you know, the gay community were protected from some of the things that were occurring to them, but it wasn't until they went out and got specific laws passed that were aimed at protecting them as a specific class of individuals did things change. And, you know, it's kind of sad because, you know, to me, you know, creating special laws for them, to me, just kind of furthered the gap between, you know, the acceptance of them as just part of our society because we had to create specific laws for them. And I know a lot of the gay community probably think that I'm being homophobic with that. It's like, no, I'm not trying that at all. It's just I wish that we'd had the lawyers and the judges and people to sit there and realize these laws, though they don't specifically mention this class, allude to include these people regardless. And we need to enforce this law as if they are fully protected because they should be and protect them as such instead of creating a whole separate branch that, you know, now it's like, okay, well, now you're part of this group and therefore you're protected. And, you know, again, like I said, you know, it furthered a gap that I don't think needed to exist. And that's kind of something that I, you know, I hate to see with us where all of a sudden now it's like, ooh, barefooters are, you know, this special breed of society apart from everybody else that we had to create laws specific to them. I'd just rather see the current laws in place made, you know, made so that it's understood we are part of that protected class.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's closing that gap, maybe some verbiage in the laws that exist, just like the LGBT and Q community put in there for themselves. And laws were adjusted in most states. I think there's only a handful of states that haven't specifically revised their laws yet when it comes to the human rights or civil rights codes or laws and acts and all that in that state. But but regardless of whether they're mentioned in there or not, they're acknowledging it and they're protected. They had to specifically go and say, no, this has to be added and this should be in there. And it happened. And, you know, it was done by, you know, their advocacy, their activism, they're getting out there on the front lines and pushing for it, writing the letters, pushing their congressmen, pushing their senators, pushing their, you know, all the reps and everything to make that happen somewhere, state level, Washington level, and all that.
They got together and they got off their butts and acted as a group. And that's I know that's what Proof is constantly, you know, complaining about with the numbers of people that we do have. That's just enough people to sit there and really get us on the radar of our congressmen and lawmakers to sit there and go, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is a pretty big group because, you know, in their mind, they're going to think for every person that stands up and vocalizes and complains about something, there's probably 10 or more that are standing by silent watching them do for them. So, you know, they'll sit there and see, you know, what's our current number at in the group?
We're up into the 14,000, something like that.
14, right? Somewhere around there?
14,000, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe higher.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more by now, maybe almost 15. And that's just in the closed and the private group. And that's not on the public business page of followers and members there that like us and follow us and support us and all that. There's quite a few. And I know Proof is just finishing up a couple things. We're going to bring him on after the break. So we're going to take a quick time out, and I'm going to bring Proof on. He'll know the numbers better. And Richard, hang in there. Proof's coming up with us next. And you're listening to Barefoot is Legal. Just a quick time out while we pay some bills. And if anybody wants to drop off a big suitcase of money, we'll be happy to accept it to keep the bills running. But until then, got to sell the ads. You're listening to Barefoot is Legal. I'm Nick Pierce. We'll be right back.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen.
whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready? Here on Freedomizer Radio. And be prepared.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Are you one of the tens of people who are tired of seeing chemtrails? Fed up with the government geoengineering you every other day? Take a dose of La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover daily, and you'll never worry about weather modification again. With great ingredients and quality vitamins from Mexico and China, like fluoride, barium, high fructose corn syrup, and colloidal mercury, your brain will be a virtual etch-a-sketch lickety-split La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover. Wow, I don't even remember the tagline for this, so it must be great.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at SerenityRug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's SerenityRug.com.
Are you members of the Barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government, and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates. Alrighty, 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Before the break, we're talking with Richard. We're bringing Richard back with us and also joining us to give us a little more insight on what we were talking about before the break when it comes to the numbers and how much we've grown. Is Proof, founder of Barefoot is Legal. And Proof and Richard, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
All right, well, thank you for letting me be here.
Well, thanks for making a show for me to host.
Hey, at least Richard made it in the building. That's good.
Yep. Oh, he's glad to have him here. So, before the break.
Oh, go ahead. When you get done, I wanted to talk with Richard, if that's okay.
Well, of course. Yeah, we'll give you permission to do that here in a little bit. I was just going to say, before the break, we were just talking about one main topic, segregation, some of the issues that we have, the laws and all that, kind of the usual, and also some of the insight, as far as the numbers and how we've grown and how we can get out there and start pushing, just like kind of other movements have gained success, what we can do and how many members we have and the motivation behind it to make this happen. So that's where we're at right now, Bruce.
Okay, so you want me to segue in?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay, so you were asking about our numbers, and I've been telling people lately we're, between all of the stuff that we have, we're at about 72,000 members.
Wow. Both the group and the page.
That's
an amazing number.
Yeah, and don't forget, I can also advertise the fact that we had over 40 million hits on our business page in 2017 alone, so that should count for something, and that's why I decided to put my money where my mouth was and officially make us a 501c3, because I saw that traffic.
Yeah, it's a lot of support, a lot of traffic, a lot of people that are seeing us. We're getting out there, we're doing something to be noticed and gain some traction.
Right, and while some of those might have been hecklers, they did count as hits last year too. So I'm okay with that for now, I guess.
Yeah, and you're always going to have that. I mean, along with the birth of something great, you have the birth of a critic, and can't get around that. You always have those that oppose someone's view, but majority of us are here. We believe in what we're doing. We believe in the cause. We believe that we have the rights. We're here to fight for it, stand up for our rights, and let them say what
Speaking
they want.
Of which, Richard comes from back in the very early pioneer days of the Internet, as well as myself. And you remember the DSS days, Richard?
Oh, yeah. With good old Paul J. Lucas, who created that group.
So when they first started for the first 5 or 6 years, they were gangbusters. They were doing a lot. What happened in the year 2000 to 2001 that they decided they were no longer going to be doing any efforts?
When Paul first started the group, it was more just to find other people that liked being barefooted. Had nothing to do with advocacy at all. Matter of fact, that wasn't on his radar. If someplace told him, hey, you got to get out of here or whatever, there was no fighting, no arguing. And it was just, okay, fine, move along, go spend your money elsewhere. And matter of fact, the group had a very, very strict policy on who they would allow in. Like now people express an interest, we often sit there and say, being a barefooter isn't about being barefoot 24/7. Well, in the DSS days, if you couldn't prove that you went barefooted and chose to be barefooted under every circumstance possible, they didn't want you in the group. So, there was no even getting people that were supportive of it, even if they weren't 24/7 participants. And as the group did grow, there were quite a few of us who were, for lack of a better term, more moderate, and we wanted to see our numbers grow. We actually wanted the group to grow larger. So, we were more advocate mindset and felt, hey, if there's somebody who likes to kick their shoes off at home, loves being barefooted, doesn't mind if they see barefooters out in the grocery stores or whatever, that's somebody who can support our, movement. And that's when the advocacy, like you were saying, in 2000, 2001, things started to change. And that's when the number of people in the group was large enough that they basically ousted Paul J. Lucas, which I was against. But they ousted him, and then that's when, shortly after that, when they decided to go from being the Dirty Soul Society, which they thought was a little too off-putting to some folks, to the Society for Barefoot Living. And so once the Society for Barefoot Living, started, again, they still weren't as advocacy-driven as what you've done with everything. And they were more, let's just get our numbers up and get support just by knowing that, okay, there's a lot of us out here that love to be barefooted and don't find it weird. But, the thought of
let's go out and fight society and sit there and say, hey, there's no reasons for this. And, you know, the sad thing about it, there was a lot of good information that was lost through the years that just never got archived that would be good to get nowadays, which is virtually impossible just due to the vastness of the Internet. Trying to do a search for, like, the Adidas or the Nike studies on barefooting is really eye-opening, and how the shoe industry knows for a fact shoes destroy your feet, and have hidden a lot of studies that they paid for. And, you know, so, anyway, you know, things just kind of fell apart just because, you know, the leader that we had there was so exclusive in what he wanted members to be versus, you know, what the group thought. And it just kind of lost its way, which is, you know, really sad.
Well, I've been the same person back from when I was part of that era 20 years ago to the other Facebook group to today. And I've been consistent, which is why I guess we have a lot of support. People know what they're getting with me. But we have a lot of the newer people. And I don't know if you saw this, Richard, but people were actually offended that I'm asking people to share pictures. And if you like our group, please tell your friends about it. And I didn't know that sharing something you like was considered offensive. It's like if you, I love a restaurant so much, I'm never going there again because I love them and I don't want anybody to think I don't like them.
Yeah, I hate to say this, you know, but I'm constantly shocked by how vastly different barefooters are. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's just a societal thing. But, you know, you would think that somebody who likes to run around barefooted, you know, kind of has themselves a little higher mental plane than the rest of society. But yet to see some of the same prejudices that exist throughout the rest of society, it just always blows my mind.
Right. And honestly, if you're not telling your friends about something that you like, then you may as well not even like it, because if nobody knows, how is it going to sustain?
Oh, I agree completely. You know, of course, it also makes you wonder. It's like, okay, so you must be a secret barefooter. It's something you know, hide from your family and friends. And the moment you start doing that, you know, you have to admit to yourself that you find it shameful for some reason. And that's where mentally you need to address that and try to overcome that, because there's no reason to feel ashamed and hide these things from your family.
Yeah, I didn't think I was necessarily pressuring people to do something they don't want to do. It's just simply, I just expect if you're part of an advocacy group that you would not have a problem. Now, I don't expect you to share every single thing that comes out. That would just be crazy. But if we're doing a challenge that we want to go viral, and last year we had 3 viral challenges that each got over 10 million hits, that anything that's a, like later on this summer when we do the driving barefoot challenge, yes, I expect that to go on everybody's wall, because it's a major event that we're doing. If you don't like some of the other photos that I'm putting out there or whatever, that's fine. But I just think it's reasonable to expect that everybody should be able to tell at least 3 friends a year to join us.
Well, here's a very interesting point you mentioned, Proof, how when it comes to the being shameful and like Richard with hiding it from the family or your friends or the general public and all that, you know, you have a lot of people that just like the gay community had, where they either grew up in like maybe a strict religious household or a strict, you know, community or something that was always against their preference when it came to their sexual orientation. The barefoot community is almost running into the same thing, where they've grown up in a family that is so shod and so anti-barefoot, or the community itself is, you know, is plastered all over with these signs that perpetuate the myth that it's illegal or against health department codes and all this, and they're shamed. And that's why they're almost like closet barefooters, if you want to call it that, because they're afraid to come out and say, you know, I'm barefoot, I'm proud of being barefoot, and I'm part of this community, and I want to fight for our rights. And it happens in a lot of different things. Now, I'm just using the gay community as one thing, But it's happened to a lot of different movements that have happened where some people just are shamed or they hide because of either their family values or the way their family's going to treat them or their friends are going to look at them and all that if they come out and say, I live a barefoot lifestyle. And I think that could also have to do with it. And some people are just, you know, just, and I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just coming up with another side of the you know, argument here where, you know, some people are comfortable going out there and being more activist, being, you know, wanting to share this and all that. And some people are just like, well, then it's just no different than my friend that wouldn't stop sharing posts about Trump or sharing posts about Hillary. And they're on the opposite end and it creates tension. Friendships have been ruined over it and all that. So they just figure, well, you know, I'm proud of who I am inside, and this is the way I'm going to celebrate it in my own home or out in the woods, and I don't need to go to a store as long as I get that in. You know, as long as I get to take off my shoes and enjoy where I can, where I feel comfortable joining. The big thing is we have to somehow motivate and get people out of that mentality, motivate them to be proud in it in public, and then take the next step and become more advocates and more active-minded about pushing the agenda out there. So I think it's going to come in two steps for some people. And there's a lot of people, members of our community, that say, hey, listen, I'm proud of this. I'm going out there. I'm doing it. I'm going to carry those cards. I'm going to show them the paperwork when I get confronted. They work on it. They overcome the objectives. People are different. Not everybody's able to do that. And you also have people that we hear a lot about, you know, where they have anxiety or depression, and it just makes things worse. It triggers something emotionally or mentally with them, and they're not capable of doing that at this point. So you never know where it's going to go.
Right, I get that. You know, I want people to feel as though we're their support staff, and obviously it's not we're not telling people to go walk the Tucson Mall parking lot when it's 121 degrees out on June 30th.
Exactly.
But
people have comfort levels.
Since everybody goes at their own pace, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just clothes. I mean, it's not the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, what you've touched on, though, kind of speaks to a much larger societal problem that I think we have with interpersonal skills with each other. People find it now that if you don't think the way I do, then we can't be friends. We can't, you know, if we have opposing viewpoints on any subject, then we're no longer friends. We can't be friends because we don't like everything exactly the same. And that's, you know, one of the problems, you know, I think people have, you know, they're afraid, okay, well, if I let my best friend know I like being barefooter all the time, and that particular friend finds feet disgusting, now if I let them know, they're going to find me disgusting and I'm going to lose the friendship. And that's, you know, one of the things that I think is just absolutely ridiculous, that people can't accept the fact that, you know what, my buddy can have a completely different viewpoint on something, and yet we can still remain every bit as close of friends as we've ever been, knowing that. Like, I have a friend that... complete Trump hater. I'm not a Trump supporter by any means, but I don't go to either extreme. And we had a big blowout argument one time. And at the end of the argument, I was like, you know what? You know, I'm glad you shared your viewpoint. I still love you. She wrote me back. She's like, oh, I still love you too. Everything's fine. Everything's friends. We now know where we stand diametrically opposed on certain issues. And it's okay. That, you know, that's what adults are supposed to be able to do. And I think societally we don't do that. And that's part of what lends itself to why we have these folks that are so afraid to admit that I'm a barefooter.
Yeah, and you know what it comes down to, not just like the personal relationships. And now, here's an example. When it comes to this whole political thing and all that, two things, and in a way it ties into the way the barefoot community could also function. Now, when it comes to these relationships and partnerships that you have, whether it's through personal life or business or something like that, I was working on a TV show. I've been working on it for 10 years almost. And the host of the show was so anti-Trump, was so, you know, blah, 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 that it made life so miserable on the set for everybody working if you believed or you were going to vote for anybody outside of Hillary Clinton. Okay? Now, you would think that because they are a drag queen doing the show that they would be the most open-minded person as possible. Not the case. You are almost the enemy. And it made it so uncomfortable and so difficult to work on the show that a majority of us just said, we're not working on the show anymore. We just can't. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. You know, in a way, people in the barefoot community may have issues like that when it comes to them being barefoot, because sometimes someone will be so opposed to their lifestyle that it's just so difficult to deal with them that it will ruin relationships. I mean, it was to such a point where it's like I had to block them from Facebook. I rarely block anybody. I just couldn't stand more timeline posts, 5-6 every hour. Anti-this, anti-that. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. This is, you know, me and some members of the crew said, let them find a new crew. We don't need it. And, you know, it was just impossible. And it's and almost people may feel the same way when it comes to the barefoot lifestyle, where they're just like, you know, I either like what I do and I don't want to ruin those relationships, and I'm, you know, I don't want to be as activist or, you know, as advocacy-based as, you know, a lot of people in the group that can get away with it, as they would say. But I'm sure that there's, you know, that there's a lot behind it. And it all depends on how comfortable someone is in the approach to it and how far they're willing to go. You know, I think maybe next election we'll all be friends again, and whatever happens, happens. Time will heal everything and all that. But, you know, it's no different than, I think, you know, any other platform out there, any other agenda that someone has. Whereas if someone's agenda is for the barefoot community and someone doesn't agree with it, sometimes they may think that, you know what, it's easier just to say, I'm not going to push this for everybody to see, you know, just to keep their relationships or keep their business relationships or whatever it is.
I've worked hard to try and make sure that my personal spy book is different than our BIL page. I don't promote agendas in our forum whatsoever.
Okay, yeah. And I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, it's your personal Facebook account. You know, I like to share memes about it. I like to throw stuff out there about it. You're not always going to see something about being barefoot on my page, though, you know, on my personal account.
Right. And to take that a step further, I try not to add people into our group that are just one topic ponies. I don't want, like, if somebody has a picture of a foot and they have themselves known as Jose Barfus, and all they have is they're involved in 38 different barefoot groups and all they have is pictures, we don't need them because they're not normal people. We need people who are well-rounded and can actually hold conversations rather than just be crazy about one particular topic in life.
Yeah, and when we really look at it, and the way you like to filter things, the way what I look at too when we're going through membership and all that, is the are they just about being barefoot? And do they have a million pictures of them barefoot and pictures of other people barefoot? To me, that screams fetish.
Yeah.
And it's a little creepy, and we don't want that. Because as I say all the time, this is not a fetish community. You know, we're not here to share foot pictures so people get their rocks off on them. You know, we want to, you know, encourage people, empower people, and, you know, help them live the barefoot lifestyle. And like you were saying earlier, it's more support as well. Support for those that are interested in living or that live a barefoot lifestyle. Not just a carefully selected group of people that are barefoot all the time, no matter what, like the other group was that you mentioned. It's just those that want to or do. That's really the only requirement for membership. And you can't look like a fetishist.
Yes. Well, I don't know what time you take your last break, so I'll either concede the floor to you and Richard, or I'll let you play the commercial.
Yeah, I'll run the commercial real quick. I just wanted to hold it while we were working on those thoughts. And this is going to be a short one. The new commercial reels are going to be ready next week. We had some technical issues before the broadcast earlier today, getting signed and getting stuff uploaded. So that's why everything's kind of behind today. But, yeah, we'll take this last short break. And when we come back, more with Proof Richard. And we have a couple of the calls. I know Kevin's waiting to come on. So we're excited to hear from everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back. 319-527-6208. And don't forget about our website, barefootislegal.org. Stay tuned.
Are you members of the barefoot community looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called save around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's save around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
You never know when an emergency is going to happen. Whether stuck on the road, riding out a power outage, escaping a natural disaster, or surviving a doomsday apocalypse, what would you do? Disaster can strike at any time. Join your host, Nick Pierce, for Freedomizer's newest prepping and survival program, Are You Ready? Saturdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Listen to Are You Ready? Here on Freedomizer Radio. And be prepared.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart,
Again, that's 319-527-6208. You're listening to the Barefoot is Legal radio program here on Freedomizer Radio. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. With me today, Richard and Proof joining us. Welcome back to the show, gentlemen. And we're also going to bring in Kevin here in a little bit, if we finish his thought, and then bring a couple more callers on. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. And let's see, where were we before the break? I wanted to keep that one very short. Just to get back on time here.
Well, we were talking about the advocacy before and how we're looking for people who are somewhat normal, at least.
Yep.
Not everyone that has a pulse gets to make it into the BIL.
That's true.
But
can't be up for being.
I wanted to ask Richard one more question though before we bring Kevin's on, or we can bring him on and he can listen in and talk after. I don't mind, but
Well, go ahead. You Richard, ask Richard your question.
Okay. Well, Richard, I noticed that one of our friends, Chris Williams, used the VIB card, the photo ID, in order to get on his airplane so that he wouldn't have any issues. Have you had much success or any failures with showing your card to anybody?
To be honest, neither. I mean, like I've said before, a lot of times just the attitude that you have when you're walking around in life kind of conveys a lot of information to people, and I don't get approached very much, you know, possibly because, you know, my natural resting face has a stern appearance to it, so I think that kind of keeps people at a distance. The way I walk, it's very purposeful. Not that, you know, years of being in the Army and, you know, law enforcement and all that, you just kind of have a certain walk about you. So I'm, you know, never just kind of lounging around, lingering, or looking, you know, sketchy. Like if I'm, you know, casing a joint out, when I go somewhere, it's like I'm moving forward, I'm moving at a pace, I look like I don't want to be messed with, which generally the case is such. And the fact that I'm an older guy with, you know, white hair, white beard, those are lots of things that just kind of help me not have to deal with folks. And most of the time when I do get approached, you can just see the nervousness of the person. You know, they were probably the one that drew the short straw to, hey, go say something to that barefoot guy. And, you know, I haven't had to worry about that too much. I'm glad to see, though, that the cards are having an effect, especially if it gives people the courage to pull that card out and stand up and, you know, fight back against confrontation. I think they're, you know, a great idea, and I like the cards. I wish all of our members would sign up for it and get those cards.
Right, and I've had people tell me that, well, you're just doing this for money, and it's like it's not the case. When you run a nonprofit group, I'm not exactly a salaried employee, and yeah, if we got wildly successful, then I could consider that in the future because, honestly, if I'm going to have a call center here in Las Vegas and we're getting that many calls and the work requires it, that I would hire myself because if I know the product inside and out, and I'm not going to make myself an $8 million a year salary, but something similar to what I make now, I don't think anybody would ever have an issue with it, but the goal is not to just rake in money without the IRS knowing about it. That would be impossible, especially when you have an official nonprofit license. I can get audited at any particular time.
Yeah, and that was a great story. If no one's familiar with the Post, one of the members, they were flying, and I guess security said something, and he took out the card, and they were able to scan it, the QR code on the back of the card. Brought him right to the website and bang, right through. No issues. That was a great story and how effective the memberships are. I want to bring Kevin in real quick before we run out of time, though. Because I know Kevin's lit up as soon as we were talking about how it comes to the acceptance with the family. And Kevin, you have a very interesting story. I'm sure you want to remark on this. And we were talking about that earlier because you had some issues with living the barefoot lifestyle and your marriage. not to drag them out, but this is a story from a while ago. How you kind of like your wife was kind of against it or something and all that. I don't know if you want to remark on that, if you had something else to share with us, but I'm kind of curious.
Well, what's up, everybody? Well, basically, okay, my wife, she really, really doesn't like it when I go barefoot. You know, she just like most, just like some other people, she believes that, you know, it's disgusting and it's embarrassing. You know, matter of fact, she don't even like it when I be playing a keyboard barefoot at church. You know, and then, you know, because she'll really get like really, really, you know, upset if I don't post my barefoot pictures on Facebook to the public. I just post it in the group. But then again, if somebody in the audience is taking pictures, or sometimes my pastor will a video be on Facebook Live, you know, taping, you know, saying all of a sudden I'm in there with, you know, barefoot, and I get caught on videotape. That's when she, you know, kind of kind of flips out a little bit. So basically, and it shames me to say that I hated, like, you know, do it behind her back or whatnot. But you know, but I mean, I can't, you know, really convince her or change her mind. I'm not going trying to. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I'm most comfortable now. I grew up just like everybody else, you know, wearing shoes, and you know, and I somehow I forgot how I discovered the Barefoot Legal group. I must have just like searched it or something, or searched Barefoot or something, and it just popped up and I joined. But the thing is, I think that it's probably much easier to be barefoot with friends than to be barefoot with family. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're out with your friends, I mean, honestly, they could care less. You know what I'm saying? But your family thinks that you're gonna embarrass them and they might get asked to leave or something like that. You know, and it's kind of funny how that shakes out. You know, I mean. Yeah, between friends and family. So yeah, it's, matter of fact, for some people like me, it's probably easier to be barefoot by yourself. You know, and you know, may I go when I'm barefoot at church? Matter of fact, even not just my home church, but when my church family is invited to another church or whatever, do I still go barefoot? I mean, yeah, yes, I do. Does anybody notice? I don't know. I mean, my feet are plain sight, but it's not like my pastor going to come up to me and talk about, Kevin, I think you should wear shoes because we're going to minister at another church and we want to represent the right way. And yada, yada. No, you know, they don't do that to me. You know what I'm saying? They let me be me. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing, no matter what, who you are with, you know what I'm saying, you should be, everybody has the freedom to be yourself. I mean, barefoot, I mean, being barefoot is part of you now. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, I can't say that I was barefoot since I was a kid, because I wasn't. You know, there are a lot of people who were barefoot as kids, but then they stopped, you know what I'm saying? And if people don't even know that you can be barefoot, that it's legal to be barefoot, and all the other kind of stuff. Because I didn't know. For me, I had no idea that it was legal to go inside a store or a gas station or whatever. I had no idea until I did that research.
And then you found the group. And then you found the group and you saw that what we were about. And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because when it comes to church and all that, there's so many Bible quotes, lines in the Bible throughout Scripture that say that, you know, remove your shoes, you're on holy ground, or take off your shoes and follow me. You know, when it comes to, you know, being in a house of prayer or holy ground and all that. You know, so that's very interesting. And you know, I couldn't imagine a pastor or someone or a priest or anybody saying, oh, you have to wear shoes. I mean, even throughout, you know, the Catholic Church and all that, it's very, you know, clear. I mean, there was a bishop in Brazil that was barefoot. There's different priests and stuff, even the whole Franciscan order. So church, of course, could always be like one of the last places you'd expect someone to get up there and give a homily on why people should wear shoes, or even get lectured on the side about it. But that's very interesting. It really ties into what we were talking about earlier in the episode, how, you know, where your wife doesn't want you doing that, and how family is always harder to accept a particular lifestyle, because you don't get to pick your family. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. The family you were born into, you're stuck with them, and whether they like you or not, or they approve of certain things, you're stuck with them. And that also makes things difficult for someone that wants to come out and live the barefoot lifestyle, and sometimes they feel oppressed and they can't.
I will say this about my family, is like one side cares and the other one doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, I know that feeling. I got one side of my family that's completely like, I am so weird and I'm the black sheep of the family because I don't wear shoes. And the other side is just like, oh, we don't care. Glad, you know.
Yeah, but I also feel that, you know, for us who go barefoot, you know, I feel that we are judged way more than other people are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and of course, the Bible does. I know when it's not trying to turn this into a preaching show, but the Bible does talk about appearance. You know, and that's the thing that people are so hung up on, which I don't understand. I mean, so it's like I could wear, let's say a three piece suit, which I don't have one. I could wear a three piece suit, still look nice, and be in my bare feet. You know, because in my opinion, this is a fact. I mean, to me, bare feet goes with any outfit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't have to worry about polishing and shining a brand new pair of shoes. I just wear the ones that I'm born with. You know, and it's fine. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I would like to see in the group. I mean, because I just posted a picture of me in my dress clothes. You know, for y'all, if y'all go ahead and see that. You know, I would like to see people post a picture of them being all dressed up, you know, and barefoot. That'd be fabulous, you know. But it's not all about appearance. So to me, it's like who cares if you go barefoot? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not living their life, and they're not living my life. You know, and yet people go barefoot for many, many different reasons. You know, some people will be talking about I have knee problems, back problems, foot problems and junk like that, and going barefoot has helped the pain go away and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But then again, there are some doctors who are pro barefoot and anti barefoot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think I read a couple of stories where some people went to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, suggested that they wear some type of, I don't know, orthopedic shoes or some type of shoes or something like that. And they'd be like, are you kidding me, doc, or whatnot? And they don't want to do it. And I could probably understand that, because maybe that doctor hasn't done his own research on barefoot or whatever. You know, from a healing aspect, I'll say yes. If you recently got hurt or whatever, and the orthopedic shoes are not working, you know there's a difference when you go barefoot and the pain is subsiding. I mean, I say keep on doing it. Maybe still see your doctor and whatnot, give them a progress report or whatnot. But it's just easier with friends. To me, than it is with a family, you know. And I still don't understand. I still don't see what's so embarrassing or even remotely disgusting about going barefoot. You know what I'm saying? And it's like here's a perfect example. So if I go to a restaurant, let's say I'm dressed nice, you know, smelling good and all that junk. No, change that. Let's go to a grocery store instead. A grocery store. So let's say I'm at grocery store A, whatever. I'm dressed nice, but I'm barefoot and all that other kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But this person come right behind me. He's freaking all dirty and smelly and got mud on his shoes and whatnot. Blah 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 blah. But then again, he gets to go free and go shop, but I get kicked out just because I'm barefoot. I mean, I don't know if that's discrimination or not, but it's like this dude looked like freaking hell.
Well, you know what it is.
You tell me that's okay?
Yeah, when it comes to stuff like that, people think that, okay, bare feet are dirty because they only know their feet that have been in their shoes all day. So if they take off their shoes at the end of the day and they smell bad and they're sweaty and they're nasty and disgusting from being in shoes all day, they think that that's the way your feet are. Now, someone who's barefoot, that's not the way their feet really are. They're not sweaty. They're not smelly. They're not disgusting. They're not, you know, if someone lives in shoes all the time and they have, like, fungus and bacteria growing in their shoes, they believe that someone who's barefoot is now releasing that bacteria and fungus all over the store. But someone who's barefoot all the time doesn't have those problems because they're not in shoes all the time. So they have this conception that because someone is barefoot, that this is all over the store now or all over the restaurant, when in reality, it really isn't. athlete's foot does not grow on bare feet unless they're in shoes. You need the proper conditions to breed fungus and bacteria. Dark, moist, warm environments, stuff like that. I think it's just a matter of if they think that because this guy may be smelly, disgusting, covered in dirt with mud all over his boots, well, as long as, this outbreak of whatever they think is going to happen because he has his feet and shoes, it's somewhat contained, whereas someone who's barefoot, they're probably spreading the plague. And some guy with the keys to the celery has to come up and say something because they think they're in charge of the world. You know, they're just misinformed. They don't understand how it really works. Or the truth behind it, period.
I completely agree with that. Most people don't understand that at all, that bare feet just do not have odor. Me, the only time I wear shoes is at work. And I trade out every day between two different pair of work shoes that I, were required to wear. Well, everybody at my job knows that I go barefoot all the time. They're always kind of, making comments, But one time we were in our locker room, and I was kicking off my shoes like I often do and getting my flip-flops on. And somebody jokingly, one of our newer officers, she comes in, she's like, "Oh, my God, what's that stink?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You just took your shoes off." I go, "Yeah, and?" Long story short, she's sitting there, and there's a bunch of people standing around, and I go, "Here, smell the shoe." I go, "It's going to smell like shoe leather. There's no foot odor." She goes, "Oh, well, I was just joking." I go, "I'm not." I go, "You sat there and assumed my feet stink because I took them off." I go, "My feet don't smell." I go, "I'll give you, I got $20 in my wallet. Smell that shoe and tell me if you smell foot stench." And so she's like, "All right." And so she smelled the shoe, and I'm like, "What does it smell like?" She goes, "It smells like a brand new shoe. You just got these, didn't you?" I go, "Look at the heels. Look at the soles." I'd had these shoes for 2 years, wearing them only at work, and 8 hours a day, 3 days one week, 4 days the next, and they have no smell to them because my feet don't stink because I don't have time to build up the bacteria and everything else that most people do from wearing shoes all the time. So you're right, barefooter feet don't smell.
All right. On that note, Nick, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys wrap up the 4 minutes here. Thank you for being here. And next week we'll be promoting the I Did It Barefoot Challenge, which will be in full swing next weekend. Unless we lost our host, and then I can I'll stick around. I was just trying to let Nick wrap up the show. I'm not on mute, am I?
No, I can hear you.
Okay. I hear you too.
Okay, so we lost our host just for a second.
Can everybody hear us? Can we hear us? I can hear
you. There you are.
Okay. Yeah, the platform went down again. We're on backup now.
All right, well, I was just letting everybody know to support the hashtag I Did It Barefoot Challenge, where we're asking everybody to either take a picture or a 60-second video of you actually being someplace. And, yes, we're asking everybody to share with their friends and groups and whatever else that you feel is appropriate to share in. So with that, I'll be back next week, and I'll let you, Nick, finish up here. Thank you for having me.
Well, hey, thanks for coming around. Always great to have you on the show. That was Proof. He has his show Monday through Thursdays on Freedomizer Radio, so make sure you check that out. Proof Negative Show, Real Patriot News, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, which is 9 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you check out Proof Negative Show, Real Patriot News. And Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. We're glad that you came around. And Richard, of course, is always great having you on. Kevin's everybody proof. Thanks very much for joining us. We are out of time, and we do must part at this point. So I hope everybody has a great Barefoot Week, and join us next week, same time. Go to freedomizerradio.com. Also, check out our website, barefootislegal.org, our Facebook group, Facebook page, and all that. So I hope everybody gained a little bit of knowledge, empowerment, and wisdom. And we are here to overcome those objections and make sure that you can happily live your barefoot lifestyle. I'm Nick Pierce. You're listening to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Join us next week.